Sometimes you have to travel far to learn about things close to home, like your finances. Hi, I'm Rob West. They say that travel is broadening, that it expands your horizons and increases your understanding of how things really work. Sharon Epps experienced that recently, and today she'll share some financial lessons she learned in the Netherlands. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we always know we're going to hear something interesting when Sharon joins the program. She's president of Kingdom Advisors, where she's always looking for ways to teach God's financial principles. Sharon, great to have you back with us.
Good to be here.
Sharon, you learned a few things while riding the tram in the Netherlands, I understand. So give us the backstory. Where were you and what was going on?
Well, over Christmas, I was visiting my kids who live in The Hague, and it was a wonderful time spent with family. We did a lot of sightseeing, and mass transportation is so readily available that my kids don't even need a car.
Incredible.
We frequently rode a tram, and as with anything new, I had to learn how things operate on the trams. And along the way, I learned a few lessons that parallel the financial lessons we teach on Faith and Finance. So I thought it would be fun to share what I learned on my journey.
Now, we can learn a few things about mass transit, because they do it really well, don't they?
They do.
Oh, I wish we had that here. All right, but let's get into those financial lessons. I know you have five of them. Kick us off.
Well, the first financial lesson is you need to plan in advance. To ride the tram, you have to purchase a tram card or use an app like Apple Pay. No cash is accepted. And if you wait until the last minute, you probably won't have the right payment method. With the new year, this is a great time to learn this lesson. You have to look ahead to make financial plans for coming life transitions and needs. Plan in advance.
Plan in advance, no cash. God's word, of course, reinforces this. We see in Proverbs, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. All right, lesson number two.
Well, surprisingly, there aren't any directions on how to operate the card readers to get on and off the tram.
Interesting.
No step-by-step instructions. However, by observation, you quickly learn that people scan in when they get on the tram and off as they exit, and they have to do it quickly or the doors will close. Well, that's true in life, isn't it? There's no specific steps for faith-filled decisions. However, God has given us principles. So the second thing is make decisions based on principles. If you're following a set of steps, they may or may not be the ones God's called you to follow. However, his word is filled with principles that are consistent for everyone.
Yeah, I know Ron Blue, the founder here at Kingdom Advisors, talks a lot about principles, and we try to carry those through in everything we do here on the program. All right, take us into lesson number three.
Well, this one is you'll get stuck if you're looking in the wrong direction. I literally was looking one way to get off the tram and realized after the doors closed that it was the doors behind me that I should have been facing. So the lesson here is that decision making requires considering many alternatives. You won't make the best decision if you only evaluate the first option that comes to mind. Lesson three, avoid decision making traps. And that really leads to the next tram and financial lesson. Once I miss my stop, I didn't know what to do. A couple of Dutch women were looking at me critically until I said, I don't live here. I don't know what to do next. And they smiled and helped me off at the next stop and helped me determine where I should catch the tram back to where I needed to be. So the fourth takeaway is seek godly counsel.
Yeah.
Life is complicated with many unexpected stops. When we ask God first and other godly people, we'll find wisdom to reach the intended destination.
I love this. All right, we're planning in advance. We're making decisions based on principles. We're avoiding decision-making traps and seeking godly counsel. Take us into that fifth lesson.
Well, it really mirrors the experience of life. After a few tram rides, you need to replenish the balance on your card. You need to know how many rides you have left on your card. So the lesson is know what you have. In Proverbs 27, we find, know well the condition of your flocks, give attention to your herd, for riches do not last forever. When you know where you are financially, you can make better decisions.
Well, that is great advice. All right, let's tie a bow on this.
Life happens quickly. Most of the time, we can slow down to take the time for major decisions, but sometimes we need to move quickly, like getting on and off the tram. If we adopt these five principles as a way of living in our financial decision-making, we won't get off at the wrong stop and have to figure out our way back.
I love it. That was great. You know, we were in New York over Christmas, and I think I have different lessons coming from the subway there, but we'll save that for another time.
We'll want to hear from you next.
That's Sharon Epp. She's president of Kingdom Advisors, a frequent contributor here on Faith and Finance. Your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Not everyone enjoys being around children, but one fascinating detail in God's Word is that quite clearly, Jesus did. And today has been declared Celebration of Life Day, a day to rejoice in the blessing of children and grandchildren and recognize them as precious gifts. God's Word agrees with that. Psalm 127 says, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him." So today, share a word of encouragement or appreciation for the young people in your life. Far too often, they're looked down on or even cast aside. Instead, remind them of their worth, that their lives have immeasurable value because they're made in the image of God. Get more daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Over the next several moments here between now and the top of the hour, we're going to dive into helping you manage God's money. That's what we do each day on this program. Our vision here at FaithFi is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. You see, we want to help you integrate faith and financial decisions for God's glory. We recognize we're all stewards. That's right. That's how the Bible describes our role in managing God's money, because it all belongs to Him. And so it's a high calling that we have. We want to help you on that journey to be that wise and faithful steward, recognizing that our financial journey is one of the key ways, I believe at least, that God shapes our spiritual journey. It's one of those tangible daily expressions of what we value and where we placed our trust. Now, we make decisions all the time around money, and many of those are challenging because we have multiple options and many of them can be good all at the same time. And so it requires that we recognize that ultimately beneath financial decisions are our values. And as Christ followers, living out a biblical worldview, we want to start there and say, what is God doing in my life? Or if I'm married, what is God doing in my family as a couple and as a family? Where are we going and how can money be a tool to accomplish that in the daily navigation of our financial journey? Well, we're here to help you with that each day, to encourage you, to cheer you on, and to recenter you on God's timeless wisdom found in Scripture, which, by the way, is chock full of money counsel. So we're going to bring that to bear in light of your very specific questions today in your financial life. So what are you thinking about? Now's the time to get in on the conversation when you call 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We're going to dive into those questions here in just a moment. In the news first today, though, you may want to get a head start on filing your income taxes this year, especially if you want to work with a tax professional. Fortune magazine is reporting that there's a serious shortage of accountants and related professionals in the job market these days. With baby boomer retirements coming in waves the last few years, more than 300,000 accountants have left their jobs, and too few young people are going into those professions to make up for the financial brain drain, if you will. Analysts say that many tax professionals are already turning away clients because they simply have too much work. This became an issue last year. A year ago, one major tax firm was offering high school students internships that paid $22 an hour. Not bad, huh? They were hoping to entice them into choosing tax preparation as a career. So the word is, individual taxpayers and small businesses need to make an appointment early to meet with your CPA or tax professional. Waiting could make it necessary to file an extension. And of course, the later you file, the longer you have to wait for that refund if you have one coming your way. Hopefully that's some counsel that you can take advantage of today. All right, the calls are coming in. The lines are filling up. So let's dive into those questions today. We're going to begin in Texas with Sean. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I'm 53. I'm retired from UPS and have a pension from them. And I made it so that if I pass away, we're taking as much money as we possibly can get on that pension to make ends meet. And so when I die, my wife won't get any of that pension. Mm. What I'm wondering, would it be a good idea for me to get life insurance to cover the house if something was to happen to me at an earlier age? And if so, what should I look for in a life insurance policy?
Yeah, interesting. It's a great question, Sean. I'm glad you're thinking through this, both for you and your wife, and then if you were to predecease her, which on average are us guys will do, how she would then maintain her lifestyle beyond that point. Have you already made this election on the pension, or is that something that's forthcoming?
No, I already made it. It happened about 2 years ago.
Okay, got it.
Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Finish your thought.
Well, I'm working. I'm doing another job now. I just couldn't stay with UPS because of physical issues.
Got it. Yep. And so are you continuing to work in another capacity, part or full time, did you say?
Yeah, full time.
Okay, got it.
So I'm making up what I lost in income for the overtime with UPS, but it's still, we're living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah. Okay. So you are living on that pension check, and it takes that 100% of that pension check plus your additional income to make ends meet. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. All right.
And my wife actually had to go get a job as well.
Okay. All right. And so let's just kind of play this out. So what is that plan? Are you all, because you're not able to add anything to your retirement plan, and I understand you're saying, should I get that life insurance to take care of the house? I mean, let's say we were to buy a term policy that, just is only in place long enough to get you to where that mortgage is paid off. Either if you pass away, it's paid off at that moment through the proceeds, the death benefit, or just based on the scheduled repayment when it would be paid off. Is that enough for her to balance the budget? Because at that point, the pension goes away, your full-time income goes away.
the mortgage payment comes off the table. But what does that mean in terms of, you know, balancing her new budget at that point?
Yeah, that's, a guy approached me to sell me life insurance, and he got me thinking about all these things. And I just unfortunately haven't been thinking about them at all.
Yeah.
Plan in my head is that we would sell the house. She would sell the house.
Okay.
And live off the proceeds of the house for the rest of her life.
Okay. And so let's say the house was paid off, because either you just pay it off by you continuing to work or through the life insurance proceeds. What is the house worth?
Right now it's probably about $700,000. I think we owe $360,000.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, if we were to take that and invest it and put four, you know, get 4% a year, that's $28,000. You know, the challenge is now she is going to have a rental payment if she's renting. And so that $2,300 a month could very easily be eaten up just by that additional expense of her now rent. And so I don't know that that necessarily solves anything, because then the question would be, okay, her pension's gone, so she just has Social Security either on her own work record or on yours as a survivor's benefit. And so if the proceeds of the home is essentially just offsetting the rent moving forward, the question would be, can she live on Social Security alone for all the other expenses?
Yeah, wow. So I do have some UPS stock, but it's not a lot, maybe about $10,000. And I do have $100,000 in a 401k plan that was left over from UPS. And then I'm actually, the job I'm doing right now, I'm going to sign up for a 401k plan as well.
Okay.
I don't know what that can do in the next 10 or 20 years, but it's something.
Yeah. What did you say your age is today?
I'm 53.
53. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. Yeah. So you've got, I mean, you still, in a sense, have time on your side. I think the key is right now, this is a good kind of realization to have. I think it's maybe opened your eyes to some things you need to focus on. And so I think, if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, we need plenty of life insurance, because, and that's probably through maybe a 20-year term policy. Get it as inexpensive as you can. And it's probably a lot more than just the house, because we want to give her something that she can convert to an income stream beyond just paying off the mortgage. So what I'm going to suggest is that you go visit with a certified Kingdom advisor. You can find one in your area at faithfi.com, and just do that retirement plan and run some of these projections out. Figure out how much you need to dial back your lifestyle today so you can save. Again, faithfi.com. Stay on the line. We'll talk a bit more. We'll be right back.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor, on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we've removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. The number to get in on the conversation, 800-525-7000. We've got a few lines open. You can call right now. Our team is standing by. You'll get right through at the moment. 800-525-7000 with any financial question. Let's go to Georgia. Hi, Clarence. How can I help?
Good morning, Rob. Listen, my friend, I talked with you last year as I was approaching my full retirement age.
All right.
And I elected to start drawing my Social Security. And my question back then was, if I continue to work full-time and I continue to have better years than 35 of the best years, would my pension continue to rise? And you said yes. What we didn't talk about, does that do that automatically, or do I have to contact Social Security and request it, or
no?
You know how that works?
It would happen automatically. There's nothing you need to do in order to get that updated. So each year, based on your earnings reported through your W-2, your Social Security benefit will be automatically calculated on your highest 35 years of earnings. If you have fewer than 35, those zeros are averaged in to make up the difference. But each year, the IRS sends your earning data from your W-2 or self-employment tax filings to the Social Security Administration. They add your most recent earnings to your earnings record, and that automatically determines if they replace one of your previous highest earning years of your 35. If your new earnings are higher than the lowest year currently in your high 35, then SSA automatically updates your record, and that increases your benefit.
Okay, but that won't happen until I file my taxes this year?
That's correct, yeah, because that's the method by which they are able to report that over to SSA.
Okay. All right, my friend, I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Clarence.
Enjoy your program.
Well, thank you, sir. Lord bless you. Call anytime. We'll go down to Oklahoma. Paula, how can I help?
Hey, Rob, it's me again.
I'm so glad you're on today. How can I help you?
Yeah, I was listening yesterday, and I know that I heard the, I can't remember his name. He said something that I have a Roth IRA, which I had that when I was working, and I put into it, and I just left it. But now, I haven't been working for about 5 years, and I just recently opened up a traditional IRA and put about $11,000 in it, and none of it is earned income. I don't work. So what is going to happen? Do I need to tell my CPA, or how does that work?
You do, because you're going to want to get that out of there, and you're going to want to work through your CPA to do it, because, yeah, you can only fund an IRA with earned income, so any unearned income put into your IRA is going to be penalized. I believe it's 6% for each year it remains in the account. And so that penalty is going to build over time. And so, yeah, you'll just want to give your CPA a call and say, listen, I put some money in an IRA. I understand I shouldn't have. And I need you to tell me, you know, how to go about getting that out and then accounting for that, you know, in your filing if necessary.
So do I sell all the stocks, just sell everything and then put it, you know, and keep it in hold until I go meet with her?
Yeah, I would probably check with your CPA on how she wants you to go about that. You are going to need to, you know, take it out as cash, and so the investments will need to be sold. How much? When did you say you put that money in this year?
Oh yeah. Well. Okay. It was last year, of it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the combination of maybe a couple of different contributions, but all of it was unearned. Yeah. Is that right?
Exactly, yeah. So you can't put any money in an account unless you're working, right? You can't have any stocks and stuff unless you're working.
Well, right. So for an IRA or a retirement account, but in this case, we're talking about an IRA. Yes, you can only fund an IRA with earned income. And so that's money you receive as a result of work or, you know, self-employment income, essentially. So wages and salaries, self-employment income, you know, taxable long-term disability benefits, but not Social Security benefits, pensions, annuities, investment income, that is considered unearned income.
Okay, so you're saying Social Security disability I could use or no?
No, it would be only long-term disability benefits. So disability payments prior to reaching retirement age, if they're paid as a substitute for your wages, not Social Security disability.
Okay, so basically, a person just will invest in CDs or something like that and pay your house off early, which is what I'm doing, what you told me to do. So that's
You've got a couple of options when you get to this season with unearned income in terms of getting it invested. Yeah, you can invest in a taxable account where, you know, you still could put it in stocks and bonds and mutual funds. You're just going to pay capital gains as you sell investments. A second option would be, you know, just what you said. You could reduce debt, which will ultimately give you a guaranteed return equal to that interest rate you're no longer paying. And once you pay it off in full, lowers your overall lifestyle spending. So your monthly budget goes down because for most people, that's their biggest expense. And now that's gone. Another option would be investing through an insurance policy. So they're not my favorite, especially while you're, you know, in your working years and you have access to a retirement plan. But when you get to this season, one of the ways to get a, you know, tax deferred growth is through something like an annuity or a whole life insurance policy. That could be another option. But those are pretty much it, because to your point, if you're not working, you can't do a 401k because you have no salary to defer, and you can't contribute to the IRAs without earned income.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. Thank you.
All right. You too, Paula. Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. May the Lord bless you. Call anytime. Well, folks, we still got about half the program remaining, which means we've got room for your questions. That number to call today, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you today. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with much more just around the corner. Stick around.
Empty stomachs, waterborne illnesses, hopelessness. These are harsh realities for impoverished African children, but you can make a difference. Join with Cross International to share the love of Jesus with a child in critical need today. Each gift of $62 provides a child with life-saving resources. Give now at crossinternational.org/faith or 866-843-9500 and help kids go from barely surviving to thriving.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
AFA founder Don Wildman was a visionary. He saw the negative influence the movie and TV industries had on society and knew their technology could be used as tools to counteract the evil taking over our culture. That vision is realized in American Family Studios. We're committed to producing feature films, animated series, and documentaries that glorify God by upholding His standards. Find out how AFS can impact your family and friends at AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. That number to call, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Alabama. Hi, Lewis. How can I help?
Yes, sir. I don't know if you can answer this question for me or not. I'm on disability. I've been on full disability for a while. I did have a little savings, but it all went away in the last 4 years. I've heard I could work for like 6 months, and then I would have to either quit or tell them that I've done it. Would you recommend that, or do you know if I even can do that?
Yeah, you can. So you're getting SSDI? Is that what it is, Social Security Disability?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, you can work part-time while receiving SSDI, but the rules are pretty strict. So the SSA sets limits for what they call substantial gainful activity to determine whether you can continue receiving benefits. And if you exceed the amounts they've established for substantial gainful activity, your benefits would then be in jeopardy, and it depends on your condition. So I believe, and you'd want to call SSA just to confirm this with your specific situation. I believe if you're blind, the monthly limit is $2,700. I think if you know for non-blind individuals on SSDI, the limit's around $1,600. I'd recommend, though, in this case, Lewis, you set an appointment with your local SSA office and just kind of go in and talk through your specifics.
Yes, sir. I know I can't work full time. I know, yeah. I cannot do that, but I've got to do something because I'm sinking pretty quick and I don't know what else to do.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I think that would be the key, is finding out, okay, based on my situation, here's the limit. And at least you'd know you could earn up to that without, putting that SSDI in jeopardy. I think that's a pretty important conversation. And obviously, anything you can do to cut back, do you feel like you've exhausted all opportunities just to trim your budget?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay.
I've had to use, things got a little more expensive, and it's taken all my savings of what I've had.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Lewis, but I think this is a great next step. If you have the ability to work and you can work up to that limit, hopefully that'll help you, round out the edges of that budget and keep you in positive territory each month. If we can help in any way, don't hesitate to reach out. I'd be happy to connect you with a certified Christian financial counselor who could help you review your budget. But if you feel like, it's really not about trimming expenses or managing it more effectively, and it's really just about getting your income up, then, the best thing is probably to reach out to SSA.
Yes, sir. It's just that I've already trimmed everything I could trim, and I'm just like I said, it's like I can't gain or anything. Yeah. So it wouldn't help me at all. And like I said, I'd like to try to work. I don't know if I can or not, but I got to do something. You know, I can't just sit by and just let this happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I think that's exactly right. And so I'm glad you're thinking this way. I think that's your next step, is to make that appointment. And don't hesitate to call back along the way if we can help, sir. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to Tennessee. By the way, we do have some lines open, 800-525-7000. You have a financial question today, you can get through right now, 800-525-7000. To Tennessee, Jack, how can I help, sir?
Hey, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. And sure. I really appreciate everything that you do each day. So thanks so much. So I'll be turning 62 in about another month or so. And for some health reasons, I kind of need to step back from working full time to address some things. And I have a young child who's 10 years old still, and a wife who's 52. And my wife doesn't work. She's a full-time parent. And but a friend of mine had told me that I could start to take Social Security at age 62, and that both my wife and daughter would be eligible because of her being a full-time parent and my daughter being still a youngster. Is that true, or that just seemed a little too good to be true, and I couldn't find out anything on the Social Security website to kind of help answer that question?
Yeah. So a couple of thoughts there. I mean, so if you take your benefits early, they're going to be reduced from your full retirement age benefit. You know, if you took it right at 62, I mean, it could be as much as 30% that you're reduced by. And then she's eligible as a spouse once you begin taking your benefits, and she can't take her spousal benefits until you take yours first. But she's can get up to 50% of your full retirement age benefit so long as she waits until full retirement age. So she's got to wait until full retirement age, which is probably 67 for her, in order to be eligible for 50% of your full retirement age benefit. Now, she does not get penalized. If you take it early, she'd still be eligible for up to 50% of your full retirement age benefit. But that assumes that she waits until her full retirement age, because if she takes it early, then she's going to be penalized starting at 50% being the max and then coming down from there. Does that make sense?
It does. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So I think the key would be, and for most people, if you can wait because you're continuing to work and, you know, you're balancing the budget other ways, I would, just because you want to let that check continue to grow, but you've got to walk through your door first. So you, in order for her to take the spousal benefit, you've got to take yours. And the key to determine what number each of you will receive is whether, you know, you have gotten to that full retirement age benefit. If you haven't, you know, it's going to be reduced from there. Yours could grow past full retirement age. Hers caps out. So she can never earn more than 50% of your initial full retirement age benefit.
Okay. And if I start to take Social Security at 62, what's the threshold that I can earn beyond, I guess, above which I would start to pay a penalty, but below which I would not be penalized?
Yeah. So you would take it before full retirement age. You're talking about taking it at 62?
Yes. But if I wanted to work still part-time a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So there is a penalty that's imposed there. If you're taking your benefits before full retirement age, that earnings limit for 2025, I believe it's around 22,000. It may have gone up to 23,000 that you can earn without affecting your benefits. For every $2 you earn above that limit, Social Security will withhold a dollar of that. And then in the year you turn full retirement age, it jumps up to nearly $60,000 that you can earn. But every year prior to that year in which you reach full retirement age,
then that limit is much lower at around that 23,000 number. I don't have the exact number in front of me. Now, I will say you do eventually get everything that's withheld from you back after full retirement age in the form of a higher check over a number of years. I think it's 10 or more until you're fully repaid. But during those years up until full retirement age, you will have that lower benefit check. Does that make sense?
It does. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Lord bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. Well, folks, we've got one more segment. We've got some great questions waiting that we will get to here in just a moment. I've got room for maybe one more question. 800-525-7000. Helping you see God as your ultimate treasure. This is Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
To all of our friends on American Family Radio, this is Michael Brown. Thrilled to announce to you that we have a brand new 30-minute daily equipping broadcast that will light a fresh fire in your life and will infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong in the Lord. It's coming your way, 12:30 every single night, 5 days a week. Don't miss a single broadcast on the Line of Fire. I believe your life will be changed.
Have your dreams been shattered? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Somebody told me early in my ministry, he said, you know, if you preach to broken hearts, you'll always have an audience. And I don't know what your need is today, but God does his best work in the midst of broken, shattered dreams.
Find real hope in Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central, here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Hey, thanks for joining us today in Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. All the lines are full here in our last segment. Let's get to as many calls as we can. Pennsylvania is where we're going next. Hi, Lisa. How can I help? Lisa, are you with us? All right. Let's see if we can get Lisa on the line, and we'll go back to her. She had some thoughts for Lewis, one of our previous callers, who's on SSDI, Social Security Disability. He's wondering about being able to add some income because he's struggling to make ends meet, and he's going to try to work right up to the limit. And I encouraged him to go to the Social Security Administration. I believe Lisa wanted to share about two things specifically for somebody in that situation. So, Lewis, hopefully you're listening here. I see the note here on what she wanted to share, and I agree. She wanted you to know about something called WIPA, which is WIPA. That stands for Work Incentives Planning and Assistance. This is a program, Lewis and others, funded by the Social Security Administration, and they provide benefits counseling to people with disabilities who are receiving SSI or SSDI and are considering work. So I think this is a great suggestion. Perhaps if you just do an internet search for WIPA, Work Incentives Planning and Assistance, and see if you can reach out to them, and they can help you understand what your options are, make some informed decisions, give you personalized guidance on how earned income impacts your financial situation, and then support you as you explore or pursue work while you remain informed about how that earning, those earnings may affect your benefits. So WIPA, or Work Incentives Planning and Assistance. Lewis, check that out. Lisa, thanks for sharing that great idea with us. To Virginia. Hi, Stuart. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. What I want to know, I heard you talking to a woman earlier
about an IRA, and they're going to take like 6% of, you know, the money or whatever she's got in there for taxes. What happened? I was in a car accident, and I put some money in an IRA, and my lawyer said that I wouldn't have to pay taxes on the money that I got. I had to pay it that it's in an IRA, or should I put it in something else?
Yeah. Do you have earned income, or did you in the year that you made the contribution?
Yes. No, I'm still working now. Yes.
Okay, great. And did you put in more than the limit? If you were over 50, the limit was probably $8,000.
I put $52,000 is what I got. That's what I put in there, but I took like $20,000 out to buy a new car. And so it was like I got like $32,000 in there, but I'm 67.
Yeah. Did you put that all in at one time, though, in one tax year?
I think so, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that would be something you need to address, because essentially for instance, for this year, the max you can contribute in any one tax year is $7,000, $8,000 if you are over the age of 50. So that would be the total possible amount. So if you put in more than that, that's considered an excess contribution, and the IRS imposes penalties and requires corrective action. So the penalty is a 6% penalty each year on the excess contribution until it's corrected. And so that, you know, that's going to add up quickly. So, you know, if you put in, you put in $1,000 more, that'd be $60, you know, penalty, and that's going to grow every year. So you're going to want to withdraw that excess contribution prior to, you know, the tax filing deadline, if possible, and then let your CPA know to determine whether there's any penalty that you owe.
Okay. Now, I haven't, since I put the money in from the accident, I haven't put anything else in it. All I put in was what I got from the accident.
Yeah, the challenge is in any given year, regardless of where the money comes from, an accident, your work, an inheritance, in any one year, you can only put in up to the maximum contribution limit for that year, which for, you know, 2025 is $7,000. You know, for 2024, you know, I believe it was the same. And so if you put in any more in one year than the limit, then that's an excess contribution.
Okay. So I get with my financial advisor and see what the deal is and take some out.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you just want to know, you want to contact your advisor and say, hey, I think I made an excess contribution to an IRA above the limit, and I just want you to help me make sure I get it out. And then you want to let your CPA know so that they can determine whether there's any penalty that needs to be paid or whether your corrective action is sufficient.
All right. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Stuart. God bless you, sir. Let's go to Kansas. Hi, Carol. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I read recently about what they called, I think, a backdoor IRA contribution.
Yes.
For high income earners. That,
right.
That's the way to contribute to the Roth IRA. Can
yes.
you explain that to me?
Yes, I sure can. So the IRS sets income limits for contributing to a Roth IRA. So if your income is too high, you are not eligible to contribute. So a backdoor Roth is a workaround that allows you to indirectly fund a Roth IRA regardless of your income. And here's how it works. Anyone can contribute to a traditional IRA no matter how much they earn, you know, up to the limit. But it would be a you don't take the deduction for this contribution. You make a non-deductible contribution because of your high income, and then you convert that once the funds are in the traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. And since you already paid the taxes on the original contribution because it was a non-deductible contribution, then the tax owed on the conversion is minimal because it's only on made on the gains that you made before the conversion. And then once you've converted it, the money's now in a Roth IRA and it's growing tax-free. So this is a legal way to get money just based on the current IRS, you know, tax code. This is a legal way to get money into a Roth by way of this non-deductible traditional IRA contribution that's then converted so that you have the opportunity for that money to grow from that point forward inside the Roth tax-free and no longer be subject to a required minimum distributions once you, you know, reach age 73.
Okay. Do you have to wait a certain period of time before the conversion?
Yeah. So you're saying after you contribute to the traditional IRA?
Right.
Yeah. So after you make that contribution, there is no official waiting period required by the IRS. And so, you know, you would have to, you know, get that money in there. And then, you know, you would decide what tax year you want to make the conversion. And I'd work with your CPA on it just to make sure that, you know, you're looking at your specific situation and everything's done properly. But the general idea here is as a high income earner who wants to take advantage of the Roth, at least while the tax code is the way it is today, this is a great opportunity to do that.
So could it be converted like the next day?
It could be pretty quick. I think most advisors tell you that it's probably, you know, makes sense, even though there's no official rule, you know, to wait, you know, perhaps at least several days, you know, may even say a few months just to make sure everything is done properly. But essentially it can be done very quickly.
Okay. Sounds
yep.
great.
Okay. Thanks for your call. Absolutely. We appreciate you being on the program today. Let's see. We're going to finish up today in West Virginia. Ron, go ahead.
Yes, hello. I was calling about I'm 73 and my wife and I have been on taking our Social Security for close to 10 years now. And when we applied, we found out that because we have a son that's autistic and he's 47 now. But because of that, my wife would only get half of her Social Security. What they basically did was took half of his Medicaid or, you know, what he was getting due to his condition. And they took that and replaced it with half my wife's Social Security. And he ended up, you know, pretty much even Steven, but she's lost half of what she should be getting. I called a Social Security attorney, and she had never heard of any such a thing before. She specializes basically in disability things. So I don't know. I'm guessing that's the case, but I'm not really happy with it.
Yeah, yeah. I would check with SSA, perhaps go down and do an in-person visit. There is a cap on the total amount a family can receive based on one worker's record. It's known as the family maximum benefit. And so that could have an impact on it. And, you know, there's an impact on survivor's benefits if the parent passes away. And then if the child works and earns income, that may affect their eligibility. But maybe what they're getting at here is this family max. So again, I would probably make that appointment with Social Security, go down, sit with somebody face to face and kind of work through your specific record and situation and family max and benefits record. So we're not dealing with hypotheticals and they can actually give you some good counsel based on your specific situation. I appreciate your call today, Ron. Lord bless you, sir. All the best to you. Well, faith and finance is intended to be a blessing for you as you manage God's money. We couldn't do it without our team, Devin, Sandy, Jim, and everybody here at FaithFi. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.